Good morning, Preston Wood. How are you doing this morning? Good? It's so good to see all of you. Listen to this. Psalm 24 says this. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates. Lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Would you stand and worship with us as we sing his name? We lift him up. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Sing Yahweh.
Yahweh. The Lord our God is with us. Yahweh. King of kings is here. Yahweh, shout it to the heavens. The Lord our God is strong to save. From age to age he reigns. Sing that again, Yahweh. Lord, our God is with us, yeah. Yahweh, the King of kings is here. Yahweh, Yahweh, shout it to the heavens. Lord, our God is strong to save. From age to age, he reigns. We lift him up. Lift up the ancient gates as we prepare the way. Your sons and daughters singing holy. Swing wide the ancient doors now and forevermore. Your sons and daughters singing holy. Your sons and daughters sing, holy Yahweh. The Lord our God is with us. Yahweh, this is holy ground. Yahweh,
you
bring our praises to Him. It's all we have to bring. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. We lift Him up. We worship Him.
God who is, we worship the God who evermore will be. He opened the prison doors, He parted the raging sea. My God, He holds the victory. Yeah. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. We won't be quiet. We shout. God who heals, we sing to the God who saves, we sing to the God who always makes a way.
Listen,
'cause He hung up on that cross, then He rose up from that grave. My God is still rolling stones away. Shout out Your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. We won't be quiet. We shout out Your praise.
I love this. Listen.
We were the beggars. Now we're royalty. We were the prisoners. Now we're running free. We are forgiven. Accepted, redeemed by His grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise.
We lift Him up, come on.
We were the beggars, now we're royalty. We were the prisoners, now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by His grace. Let the
welcome you. Welcome to Prestonwood. We are so glad you're here. Maybe this is your very first time joining us. Welcome home. You're part of our family today. And for the thousands of people watching this online, welcome to church. We're glad you're here. Before we do anything else this morning, would you find someone you have not said good morning to yet? Introduce yourself. Say hello to them. As you find your seat, please check out this video as we enjoy and celebrate every single thing that God has done here at Prestonwood over the last few weeks.
We're just a month into the summer, but already we've experienced some amazing moments of ministry. we are seeing the incredible impact of our commitment to our summertime giving emphasis unfold throughout our ministries. To recap just a few, we kicked off the summer with another awesome adventure week. Across both campuses, we were excited to welcome nearly 4,500 children for 4 great days. What a blessing to witness 382 professions of faith and 18 rededications. It's so great to see kids and students alike discovering Jesus as their Savior. Lives were transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit among the 900 students who traveled to Florida's Emerald Coast for beach camp. We saw 44 professions of faith and 136 baptisms. 71 students rededicated their lives to the Lord, and 10 surrendered their life to ministry. God is truly moving among our children, students, and families. Our family fun night drew great excitement from families at both campuses. It's wonderful to see families stepping out in faith to follow Jesus. We are forever grateful for the teaching and leading from our ministers and volunteers. They have helped to plant seeds of faith that will make an eternal difference. As we continue the summer season, let's remain steadfast in our giving, our praying, and our serving. And let's get a fantastic start to another fall season of ministry at Prestonwood.
Yeah, let's go. Come on, let's clap it up. I know you did it a little bit over the video, but let's give the Lord some praise. There is joy in the house of the Lord this morning. And things like we just saw on the video, they only happen because of your faithful giving, church family. And so we are thankful and we are grateful for what God has done and what He is going to do. So please remain faithful throughout these summer months in your giving. If you're a guest with us, here in the room, we want to say welcome. We are thankful that you have chosen to join us, and we have a gift for you immediately following our services. If you'll just move right to the back at Guest Central, we've got our pastor's book on the essential gospel. We would love to put that in your hand, learn a little bit more about you. So go to Guest Central as we close. To all of you watching online, I'll just add my greeting to that of Caleb. Lean in. Gather around that table with your latte, your coffee, whatever you've got. We know there's a lot of our church family traveling in these months, and so our online offering is powerful, and God is on the move. So lean in, check that out, and come join us there as well. We've got an incredible morning. Our pastor's got a great message for you. The psalmist said in Psalm 121, he said, "I looked to the mountains," and he asked the question, "Where does my help come from?" He said that my help comes from the maker of heaven and earth. He is the Lord who is the shade at your right hand. He is the Lord who heals you. He's the Lord who watches over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. So I don't know what each of you are going through. And as you walked in this morning, it's our hope and our prayer that God meets you in a powerful way. And that joy that's in this house, that it would take root in your heart and in your soul, and it would move you to serve and to give. All of what happened, church family, thank you. I just want to say a thank you on behalf of our pastor and our leadership, those that volunteered for VBS, those that went to student camp and made student camp happen, our family fun night. Those things don't happen just by your giving and by your volunteering and giving of your time. So thank you. Thank you for doing that. Let's pray and continue on in our worship this morning. Father God, you are the one who watches over our coming and our going. You're the shade at our right hand. You are our healer. So we look to you this morning. You are worthy of all we have and all that we are. Father God, speak through our worship. Speak through your word. Father, I pray that as your word is taught and as your Bible is preached, God, that by your Spirit you would move in our hearts and you would make us more like your Son, that we would leave here more in love with you, more committed to you, more dedicated to giving and going and serving than we ever have been in our lives. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
I'm gonna sing till my heart starts change. Oh, I'm gonna worship till I mean every word. 'Cause the way I feel and the fear I'm faced doesn't change who you are or what you deserve. I give you my worship, 'cause you still deserve it. You're worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy of my song. I'll pour out your praises in blessing and breaking. King is risen, gonna preach to my soul that you've already won. Even though I can't see it, I'm gonna keep believing that every promise you made is as good as done. Oh, I give you my worship. You deserve it.
I know there's peace within your presence.
speak Jesus.
And I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus.
Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, and Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus.
Over every enemy.
So good to see you, to worship with you today. Jesus is in the house. He is here because he is on the wings and the worship of his people, and he inhabits our praises today. So thank you for worshiping with us. Thank you for your leadership up here, choir, and those singing on the platform, our orchestra. It's just an incredible time. I love the summer season, and we do celebrate all the good things that God is doing, the great things that are happening here this summer, lives being changed. I thought I'd take just a few moments before the message to reflect on several of the things that are doing. You may not see in terms of expansion going on at Prestonwood. And let me take you up north first. And we got a few slides I want to show you. I want to take you up north because we're in an expansion there. Some of you are part of this through Proclaim. And we are giving in order to support the growth of our North Campus. This is, by the way, Connor Bale's fourth anniversary as our campus pastor north. And we recognize these anniversaries in the worship guide, but how we thank God for Connor and Mary and their incredible family. So the North Campus is exploding with growth, just like the northern sector of our community. And so we are expanding the worship center to seat 2,000 people. It seats about 1,400 or 1,500 right now, and we're in three services on Sunday morning. So we're growing, growing, and growing. And not only that, but we're expanding the children's area, a new front and a new welcome area for the children's area. The new offices are coming as well. So a lot going on at the North Campus, and this will include soon and very soon the expansion of our North Campus Prestonwood Christian Academy, Prestonwood Christian Academy North Campus. And we already have expanded in learning cottages there because the school is growing. It's the fastest growing Christian school anywhere, we're told. And we're up to 700-800 students at our North Campus. So that means overall 2,400 students at Prestonwood Christian Academy, Plano North Campus. And so that's on the horizon. And then right out front, if you come in the front door, I know some of you never come in the front, you come in the back like I do, but coming in the front, you may note that we're under construction with our fountain. You know, this building and the fountain is about 20 plus years old, and so we had some cracks and some things, and I think it was all those baptisms we were doing. We were just exploding the fountain out there. So we've actually, we're working on the fountain. We're grateful for a generous donor who made this very possible. You see there the steps now we're putting in where candidates can go down into the baptism waters there. So that's going to be good. So that's the Plano campus fountain after. And so that should be wrapped up sometime by the end of the summer. We're going to have a great end of summer baptism outdoors. And then not only that, but our amphitheater. You've heard us talk about the potential of an amphitheater on, I call it the pond at Prestonwood out here, our little lake. And so there's a design of what it's going to look like. You can see on the overhead where it's going to sit. We our donors are giving generously to support this family. I'll be telling you more about that later, but that's coming. It's in process now. Pray that it can get moved along at the City of Prosper. We are, pardon me, of Plano. We need to move it on and get going. We hope to have that ready by the fall. It's going to be a tremendous place for prayer and worship and for our students, for the gathering that may choose to meet there on Thursday night, for our young adults, for anyone to go. We're going to have incredible outdoor experiences. So much of what Jesus did, he did outdoors. And I love preaching the gospel in the open air. So that's our amphitheater. What's next? I think we've got a shot of Gunter. Actually, you don't say Gunter, though it's spelled G-U-N-T-E-R. It's Gunner. So that is Gunner. And just to remind you, we are praying about the near potential of opening a campus in Gunter, which is just above Salina, just above Prosper. It's about 20 miles north, 20 minutes actually north of our current campus at the North Campus. We have 55 acres that a donor gave us a number of years ago. We've been praying. We've been asking God for his timing, his perfect will. And whether you know it or not, take a drive up there sometime. The neighborhoods are coming in, just like it happened in Prosper. Gunner is next. And from there, I don't know, we're going to Oklahoma, wherever the Lord takes us. We're just going to keep advancing the gospel, amen, and taking the message of Jesus to the ends of the earth, and that includes the end of the road here. And then I wanted to mention that this is the 1 year, this week is the 1 year anniversary to the Dobbs decision, which ended the Roe v. Wade travesty in America. And sent the decision regarding life and choosing life or to abort back to the states, back to the people where it belongs. And we've already had numerous states, including Texas, to prohibit and restrict abortion, as we've noted in the past. And what I want to say about that, we've got a lot of work to do. We've got a lot of work to do. And our Prestonwood Pregnancy Center, led by Executive Director Leanne Jameson, is leading the charge. I just called Leanne and said, in the year since the Dobbs decision, approximately how many babies, and she didn't have the data right in front of her, but how many babies have been born as a direct result of our ministry at the Prestonwood Pregnancy Center? And she said between 11 and 12,000 babies born. And many of these are a result of more women coming to us in crisis. We care deeply about the woman, her heart, as well as her child, because we know if we can bring a mother and a family to Jesus, then that mother, that mom will make the right choice regarding the child. And we believe so strongly in the sanctity of life. And when you look at America and what's happening, so many things are wrong in these days, but I can tell you, we are winning this battle for life. And the Dobbs decision, the end of Roe v. Wade, is an indicator of this. Again, we have so much work to be done and so much more prayer and so much more that we can give and live in order to make abortion not just illegal, but unthinkable. Amen. God, give us the day when abortion would be unthinkable in America and around the world. So take your Bibles and turn with me to Luke's Gospel, the 12th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, and the title of this message is the title of the passage, which is The Rich Fool, or you might call this message The Bankruptcy of a Soul. We're in a message series, Jesus, Tell Me the Story of Jesus, and we're now telling the story, some of the stories that Jesus gave us in the New Testament. And among the stories of Jesus, about a third of the stories have to do with wealth and poverty, of work, of wealth, of stewardship, of possessions, because our Lord often spoke of this issue, and in particular, of true riches. Wealth and possessions and related subject in the Bible are mentioned in both Old Testament and New Testament over 800 times. It's a megawatt theme of the Bible, wealth and possessions, saving, spending, stewardship, investing, borrowing, lending, debt, leading a business. All of these subjects are discussed from God's word and God's perspective. And again, so many of the things that Jesus talked about have to do with the subject of true riches. And today, we're going to talk about true riches. Today's parable is about a rich fool whose pride, whose pleasure, whose possessions kept him from experiencing the true riches that only God can give and the eternal reward that is ours when we trust in Christ. We meet a man, a wealthy man, a successful man, but he died foolishly, without God and without hope. A foolish farmer who had virtually everything that he wanted, everything that money could buy, but he lived and he died without God. And so beginning in the 12th chapter of Luke and verse 13, here's what we find. Then one of the crowd said to him, "Teacher," or rabbi, "tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses." Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. And then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God.'" As we divide this parable, and a parable means to lay alongside, it's an illustration, it's a short story with a long meaning. And the big idea of this little story, what I'm going to call the subject, if you're taking notes, the subject is in verse 15. "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of things that he possesses." So here's the situation. Jesus is speaking, and thousands have gathered. The crowds are still clamoring to hear the Lord speak. And while these thousands are gathered there, after Jesus is teaching them and speaking of them of the things that are to come, of eternal things and how to know him and how to experience God, there's one in the crowd who speaks up. And when he speaks up, he interrupts and says, "Rabbi, teacher, divide the inheritance between me and my brother." Now, it doesn't say so, but apparently his brother is standing there with him, two men, and their father has died. And rather than mourning the death of his father, this man doesn't care so much. All he wants to know is how much of the inheritance he can gain. So he wants Jesus to judge or to arbitrate the matter. You got two family members here fighting at the funeral. We've seen this many times, by the way. Rather than grieving, they are grabbing for more. And Jesus is not interested in this man's question. He's not interested in judging the petty dispute between this man and his brother. In fact, when Jesus answers him, it's rather impersonal. It's rather impersonal. For he says, "Man," I mean, he treats him as a stranger. This is not, when you say man, this is not you to man. This is more like, "Come on, man. Man, what are you thinking?" And he goes right to the heart of the subject and to the heart of the man who's asking that question, and he deals with the subject of greed and of covetousness, the desire to acquire more and more, more stuff, more substance, more status, more success. The problem with covetousness, which makes the Big Ten list of the Ten Commandments, in fact, you shall not covet, is the 10th of the commandments, and in many ways it summarizes all the commandments of loving God and loving others. You shall not covet, because covetousness and greed is discontent. It is the sin of discontentment. And Jesus refused to deal with this man on his personal petty lesson, but he chooses to talk to him about something far more important. And not only to him, but he says to all who are listening, notice it says in verse 15, he said to them, to the brother, to his other brother, to the crowd, take heed, beware, be on guard of covetousness. For one's life, and he uses the word life there, not the word Greek word bio for life. We get our word biology, so this is not natural life, biological life. He uses the word zoe, which is the life that God gives. This is eternal life. This is the essence of life. He says, this is not the meaning of life. Your goods, your possessions, your money, this is not what life is about. You are not defined by your possessions. Life is not measured by how much we have. And so he says, be on guard against greed. A military term, be on guard. Be ready to resist greed, because greed is a deadly sin, a dangerous sin. Just how much are you worth? That's the question. I love the story that my friend Pat Summerall used to tell me about a man who came down, I believe, from Kansas City to play golf at Augusta National Golf Course. And he was popping off quite a bit about how wealthy he was and how much he wanted to bet and how much he wanted to gamble. And everyone who was with the group, he was a guest. Everyone in the group, including one of the key founders of Augusta National, a billionaire by the name of Stevens, was in the group. And this man, he just made everyone's life miserable that day, blaming it on the fact they weren't gambling enough, didn't have enough on every hole. And finally, they get to the end of the round. He played terribly. No one had a good time. They get inside to eat lunch, and before they eat lunch, they play a little pinochle. I understand they play pinochle. And he wanted to know, how much are we going to play for? How much per point? And they said, well, here at Augusta National, we just play a penny a point. And he said, a penny a point? He said, back at my club, we play a dollar a point at my club. And finally, this guy, Stevens, he had had enough. And he said, well, man, you must be at a very expensive club. And he said, oh, yeah, it's a very fine club. And he said, well, you must make a lot of money. And the guy said, well, I'm pretty well to do, yeah. And he said, well, just how, now remember, he's talking to a billionaire. And the billionaire asked him, said, just how much are you worth? And he says, well, shrugged his shoulders, said, between $15 and $20 million. The billionaire reached for the cards, slid them across the table, and said, I'll cut you for it. That's a slow burn, but you get the point. I mean, wealth is relative. How much you have or how much you don't have. So Jesus is teaching us this truth that we must never worship our wealth, because that becomes covetousness. Colossians 3 and verse 5 tells us that covetousness is idolatry. To worship money, what Jesus called mammon. And so this is a warning. The subject is to start with a warning. Watch out. Beware. Now, it is not a sin to have things, to have possessions, or to have money. In fact, the Bible says God gives us freely good things to enjoy. And in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8 and verse 18, he gives the power to gain wealth or to get wealth. God gives the power. And so if someone has money, and frankly, most of us in America have more money compared to the rest of the world, and we're wealthy in the eyes of the world, but having things, having possessions, doesn't necessarily make you a materialist. If your attitude towards your money is aligned with what God says about it. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, in fact, go to 1 Timothy chapter 6 with me, and I want you to look at verses 6 through 10. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money, not money, but the love of money is a root, not the root, a root of all kinds of evil for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. This is why I said a moment ago that greed, covetousness, is a dangerous and potentially deadly sin because it pierces people through. It is destructive in its power. It can be addictive, just like any other substance that takes a hold of your heart. So Jesus, in speaking of the subject, is saying, look out for greed. And that goes for everybody. No matter how much money you have. You know, there are the greedy poor and there are the greedy rich. But if you're greedy, you're not godly. Mark's Gospel chapter 8, Jesus said, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? For what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? That's the subject. Are you with me? So then Jesus tells the story, and here's the story. We read it. About a man who was rich and getting richer, a wealthy farmer, and he was just killing it. He was making so much money due to a harvest, a great crop. He's making more money than he can spend. He's got more stuff than he can store. And he's trying to figure out what to do with his wealth. And when you read this story, you certainly see his possessions, and he had quite a bit. But what you really see is his pride. His pride. Eight I's and four my's show up in his soliloquy in this text. He's speaking solo. He says all this to himself. Apparently, his wife doesn't care to hear it if he hadn't already run his wife off. And so he's talking to himself, he's talking to his soul, and he's trying to figure things out as to what he's going to do. And he says it over and over again, I, my. Pride is his problem. Pride is a major problem. It was pride that made the devil the devil. The scripture says, these six things, yes, seven does the Lord hate. And at the top of the list is pride. You may be exalting pride in your life, and as a result, when pride is exalted, often sin is endorsed. I want to show you a photo. So this is Pride Month, so-called. Pride Month in support of the homosexual, transgender community. And so you see pride on churches like that one, including churches in our own city. Walked into a major department store yesterday, and of course, pride is everywhere. And in this pride, the idea is we are to celebrate and endorse a behavior that is the antithesis of what the Word of God teaches. In fact, let me just say here, nearly at the end of June, that we don't need a pride month. Amen. What we need is a humility month. What we need is a repentance month. There was a time when people were not proud, but rather they were ashamed of their sin. You say, well, shame's not good. Well, at least if you're ashamed of your sin, You have the opportunity to confess your sin and to find forgiveness and grace and the power of Jesus Christ to deliver you from that sin. The Bible says God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So God deliver us from personal pride, the pride of wealth, the pride of place, the pride of face, the pride of our own sinful behavior. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. And oh, how our land needs healing. And that healing comes from the hope that we have in Christ. The same passage I quoted earlier about pride from Proverbs 6. Let's put it on the screen. I want to show you something here. Because pride produces an abomination to God. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven. A proud look, a lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked plans. Feet that are swift to running evil, a false witness who bears lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. You see what pride produces? A terrible list, including those who kill and destroy the innocent blood of the unborn. The same thing, this pride has produced what we've seen as the Holocaust in America, the death of millions and millions and millions of babies over the last 50 or 60 years. And we're working hard to end this. But we've got people who are working against us, including Joe Biden. Let me put this up on the screen. I'm just going to call him out. Can we put this picture up? Joe Biden loses case to force Christian doctors to do abortion. Joe Biden has officially lost his legal battle attempting to force Christian doctors to kill babies in abortions. Praise God that someone had some sense. And Biden and his crowd are turned back. God help a prideful president who wants to punish Christians who refuse to be involved in the bloody abortion business. Pride will send you straight to hell. That's what pride will do. Because pride exalts a person above God. It's idolatry. So this man has an idea. He says, I know what I'll do. I'll tear down my old barns and I'll build bigger barns. I just won't add on to the barns. That takes up space to grow more crops. So I'll just tear down the old barns and build high-rise barns to store all this stuff. And he said, once I do that, I'm going to control the crop. I'm going to control the supply chain. So what I can do is take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. He's a hedonist by now. And he decides to retire. That's what it means when it says, I will take my ease. I'm just going to take it easy. Did you know retirement is never a positive thing in the Bible? Retirement says, well, I'm tired. I'm burned out. I don't want to work anymore. I'm going to drop out and just do what I want to do. Now, you may retire from your job. You may pray about it. And God may lead you to stop going to work every day. But when you retire, and if you retire, what are you going to retire to do? Are you going to retire or are you going to refire for the kingdom of God? Amen. So what are you going to do? What are you going to do if you retire? You going to play more golf? Maybe take up pickleball? Sit around looking at your screen and who said what on Facebook? Take nice vacations? Dote over your grandkids and drive your kids crazy. Get with a bunch of old people every day. Talk about your aches and pains. The last procedure you had, what pills you're taking. Is that what you're going to do? This is a foolish decision on this man's part. It's a foolish decision on your part if you decide to drop out on life and just take it easy. That's not what a Christian does. We're not to just sit on our blessed assurance and wait for the rapture or wait to die. It's a problem in the church, in churches. People quit. They quit on the service of God. We hear things all the time. Well, you know, I've served my time. I've done my time. Let the young people have it. I'm just going to sit and soak sour. And that's what happens. You drop out of life, you become skeptical and cynical and critical of others. Don't be foolish. Don't be foolish like this man. You see, it's a good plan to retire if you don't want to die early. You won't retire. Because the fact is, if you just quit on life, soon life will quit on you. Amen. So be faithful as a follower of Jesus. You know, don't be like this man who said, man, I got it made. I'm going to sit back in the hammock. I'm going to smoke cigars, drink a lot of alcohol. Just love my life, love some of me. And you said he did all of this without any focus or attention on God or what God wanted him to do. He decides to retire. He didn't know God was about to take his life. God is about to take him out. And so while he's thinking all this, there's a knock at the door. Who is it? Death. Go away, death. I'm not ready to die. Death won't go away. And this man, just like that, suddenly he dies and he's in eternity. And what did Jesus say about this? Startling. But Jesus said, you fool. You fool. The Bible actually talks a lot about fools. The fool has said in his heart, Psalm 14:1, that there is no God. To be a fool is to be mentally and morally deficient. It's to be foolish in the way you view life rather than wise. Oh no, I'm a scientist. I'm really educated. I say that it all happened with evolution. It just happened by chance. Nothing times nothing equals everything. God says, you fool. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The Bible says in Psalm 14, verse 9, that fools make a mock of sin. Fools laugh at sin. A man is a fool to celebrate sin of any kind, to applaud it or applaud it, to celebrate it, to endorse it. Fools make a mock of sin. Everybody said to this man, oh, he's brilliant. He's really smart. He's incredibly successful. What a businessman this guy is. But God said, he's a fool. He's a fool. You stupid, senseless, dumb man. Because you lived your whole life making money rather than making a life with God. Enjoying earthly goods and riches, but impoverished, bankrupt before God. His soul is now bankrupt. He died just like that. Many people die suddenly. This may be the last sermon I preach. This may be the last sermon you hear. Happens all the time. And you don't have enough money, just like this man, you don't have enough money to buy another minute of life. And when you die, 5 seconds later, you're going to stand before a holy God and give an account of what you've done with your life and what you've done with Christ. the scripture says, prepare to meet your God. It is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. God gave you life, and God gave you breath. What are you doing with the life that God has given you? Are you rich towards God, or are you living for yourself, your possessions, your pleasures, your profit? You look at this man, and he really apparently did nothing for no one else. He's just living for himself, and he didn't take into account that he had forgotten God, he had forgotten about others, and he had forgotten about his own mortality. And so he's in the presence of God. He thinks he's celebrating all his success, and the next minute, he's in eternity. And he shows up before God. And what does he have to show for it? His life. Well, I made a lot of money. I took some great vacations. I had to build a bigger house to hold all my stuff. I had to go out and get one of these big units to put all the stuff that I borrowed on credit. Now I don't have space for it. I lived in a big house. I drank a lot of alcohol, smoked big cigars. I got married 4 times, and the last one was younger than my granddaughter. But God says, you're a fool because you don't have true riches. Well, the question is, are you rich towards God, or are you living for yourself? He never helped anybody. There's no apparent giving away of any of his money. He worshiped his wealth, and he thought his success would save him. So what are you doing with your possessions, with your money? Are you saving it? Are you spending it? Are you stewarding it? Are you squandering it? I know people say, well, you know, if I was this rich guy, if I was a man like that, man, I would really be generous. I'd give a lot of money. I'd build a wing on the church if I had a lot of money. Not so. Luke 16, Jesus said, he that is faithful in that which is least will be faithful in that which is much. Amen. And you know what you would do if you had a lot of money? The same thing you are doing with the money you have right now. That's what you would do. You will either hold on to it and be greedy, or you will be gracious and generous. So finally, the sermon, and I'm finished. The sermon is in verse 21. So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. You know what it means to be rich towards God? It's to be rich in his grace. It's to be rich in love, rich in your relationship with him, rich in joy. We sang of that joy earlier. It is to be rich in love, rich in faith, rich in grace. To be rich in the things of God. That this is true riches, rich in peace. You see, real wealth is to be enjoyed, and then it is to be employed in the service of others. And when I look at the people of Preston Woods, so many of you, dear, dear people, who have given so generously of what God has given you to advance the kingdom of God in the work of this church. I praise God for you, because you know what the real riches, what the true riches are about according to Jesus. Real true riches is having a place in heaven, having an eternal reward in heaven. So your life doesn't consist in the things that you have or have not. Your life consists, it's measured in a relationship with God. True riches is a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Amen. 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, heaven's a rich place. Can you imagine the wealth, the glory, the worth of heaven? He was rich, but for your sakes he became poor, that through his poverty you might be made rich. You are a child of the King, Christian. You are the royal redeemed. And a life in Christ means that you can live not for yourself, but you can live for the glory of God. You can live to serve others. You can live to advance the kingdom of God. You can live and give so that you may receive the true riches when you stand before God and you hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Would you bow your heads with me in prayer, everyone praying together? Let me ask you a question. Are you faithful or are you a fool? Are you living for God or for your greed? And you don't have, again, you don't have to have a lot of money to be greedy. You may be grasping for more and more and more. That's covetousness. You're never satisfied. What's going to be enough for you? What's it going to take to make you happy? You can discover the real riches that come in a relationship with God through Jesus by simply repenting of your sins, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lay down your pride. Don't be foolish. Make the wisest, greatest decision you can ever make in your life for now and forever, and that is to put your faith and trust in Christ, who became poor. He went to a cross, he died, he rose again. This is the gospel, that whoever believes in him will be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. So believe and receive the riches of his grace. Trust in Christ. In this same passage of scripture, Jesus talks about confessing him openly and following him publicly, so that when he comes, he will confess you as you have put your faith and trust in him openly and publicly. So I'm going to ask that you pray privately, and then in just a moment when we stand and sing, I'm going to ask that you come publicly. Come forward and put your faith in Christ. It's the best decision you will ever make in your life, because your life, you know what's going on in your life, it's not working for you. You may think you're happy. You may be living for pleasure and things, but when you stand before God, none of that's going to matter. None of that's going to make a difference. What you leave behind, somebody else is going to get it. And then what do you have? A bankrupt soul in eternity without God and without hope in hell. So pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, I invite you to come into my life. I repent of my sin and receive you as my personal Lord and Savior. Just ask him, Lord, come into my life. Forgive me. Change my heart. Make me your child. Give me the true riches of your grace and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Now look right this way, and as you look this way, would you stand up with me online? If you're trusting in Christ today, you prayed that prayer, put your faith in the Lord. There's a number, 74788. If you'll text that number, the word Jesus, we're standing by to connect with you and to follow up with your decision for Christ today. In the balcony, there are ministers upstairs, and right here on the lower level, our pastors are here to receive you. Make that decision for Christ today. Do it today. Do it now. Today's the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Why would you wait? Why would you risk your eternal future? Come to Jesus. I beg you in Jesus' name, come to salvation in Christ. There are others, you need a church home. You want to be a part of a church like Prestonwood. And if you want to join Prestonwood, you can come forward today and make that decision as well. We'll receive you as we receive members. Lord, may it be so. Help men, women, boys, and girls to do right now what they'll be so glad that they've done when they stand before you in eternity. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for worship at Prestonwood. As you heard earlier, if you made a decision for Christ, please text Jesus to 74788. We would love to connect with you and give you these great resources to help you grow in your faith. One is a New Believer's Bible with helpful notes to help you study God's Word. The other is a book by Pastor Jack Graham on the next steps to take as you pursue this new life in Christ. As we close, I'd like to thank you for your faithful giving to support Prestonwood and the work God is doing through our ministries. If you would like to give, text the word GIVE to 74788 or visit prestonwood.org/give. It's been a joy worshiping with you, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.